Yeah. Well, hallelujah. You're on your own, sis.
Happy there in that perfect place. Do not give your strength to women. Now, if this is who I think it was, and who was talking to him, he should have took his mother's advice. Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed, and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing, and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty, and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. And then the narrative shifts, and this chapter is a whole. These aren't two disparate pieces, but this whole chapter actually goes together. And the king is remembering what his mother said to him. And now, in remembrance of his mother, he speaks to her. And he says in Proverbs 31, verse 10, an excellent wife who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works willingly with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. And she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself and clothing in fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the lands. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing. And she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Lord, we thank you for this gathering of believers, brothers and sisters and family and friends that have come today to honor you, Jesus, and to honor our mothers and to honor this institution of the church. As we preach today, I pray that you would open eyes and that you would let truth breathe into our souls, and that we would leave this place courageous world changers. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
This is a beautiful ending to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs starts and ends with the same themes, and with this last section being a beautiful ode from a son to his mother, and he's called King Lemuel. And Lemuel means to God or belonging to God. So he's king that belongs to God, or king to God. I believe it may have been his mother's personal nickname for the son she so treasured and held in such high esteem. And in my personal opinion, this is most certainly King Solomon talking about his mother, Bathsheba. And it begins with the king reminiscing about his mother's advice to him. And you can feel her love for her son, the king. And then he writes down her most excellent advice. Advice that helped him navigate overwhelming responsibilities, because he took the throne at a young age. Without his mother's advice, he wouldn't have succeeded like he did. It was under her guidance that Solomon rose to be the greatest king of Israel. No other king would match his prowess until Jesus, the Son of God. And as he looked back over his life, and as he meditated on all that his mother endured, and as he started recounting everything that she achieved, his heart began to swell with pride. And we don't hear much about Bathsheba after her affair and subsequent marriage to David. But Solomon gives us a glimpse into what kind of woman his mother Bathsheba became. And today on Mother's Day 2022, I want to share with you the secrets of an excellent woman as told by the wisest of all earthly kings. And with the help and the insights of the Holy Spirit, I want to reveal to you the woman behind the myth known as the Proverbs 31 woman. Now, to say that this woman has an intimidating reputation is probably the understatement of all times for Christian mothers everywhere. Can I get an amen from the ladies in the house?
Amen.
But what I often hear most about this woman of excellence is mostly about what she does. You hear about her skills and all her accomplishments. She's a hard worker. She grows and buys wool and flax. And she's an avid grocery shopper. And she's a consummate morning person, up at the crack of dawn every day. And all the ladies said, oh. She makes sure there's enough food for her entire household, and even for her servants and friends. making sure that everybody is well taken care of. And she's somewhat of a real estate mogul, shopping the real estate market and buying farm ground and turning it into productive fields with all sort of produce. And she's not just a morning person, but a night owl too. She's an accomplished seamstress. She can sew clothing, and she can create the fabrics to sew the clothing, the raw materials, and that she's personally overseen the growth and production of. She's also aware of the poor and needy in her community and is sure to include them in her provisions of food and clothing. She's so industrious and skilled that she sews clothing for everyone in her house. Feeling intimidated yet? And she makes her own fancy bed sheets. And her sewing industry is so advanced that she has a ready business selling her clothing and other elegant accessories to the local merchants. She runs her house like a well-oiled machine. Her children obey her, and her husband trusts her in everything. Now you're really feeling intimidated. This is some amazing woman. But if we look closer, Solomon is not giving us his mother's resume or simply making a list of her accomplishments. But he's getting at something deeper, Brother Stacy. He's getting at what's humming under the surface of all her activities. And what he remembers most fondly isn't his favorite robe or the special bed sheets she made for him. It's not the delicious meal she prepared every day that pulled at his heartstrings. He remembers most fondly who she was as a person. He remembered how she made him feel, not just proud, but safe, loved, full of joy, confident, and fearless. And he helps us to look through the lattice work and the white picket fence and the finely manicured gardens and lawns and the draperies in her windows, and he helps us to peer into the heart of this woman to find out who she really is. What is driving her to do these things? And if we read between the lines, we hear Solomon describing his beloved mother in very different terms than what is often challenged in our pulpits. He says the heart of her husband trusts in her. She does him good and not harm. She works with willing hands. She considers a field. She dresses herself with strength. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. There's something going on behind her activities. There's something driving the things that she does. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. She's not afraid of snow for her household. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She laughs. What kind of woman is this, Sister Lois? She laughs at the times to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She surpasses all other women. And these are clues to what makes this woman so excellent and so successful in her labors. This mother has an attitude that is unflappable. What an attitude she has. If you think what she did was intimidating, you're not gonna make it to second base. Because this attitude and the way she takes care of business is even more intimidating than all the other things that he said. Nothing shakes her. Nothing scares her. No challenge can cause her to recoil with insecurity. And ladies, you might be thinking, what kind of a natural alien woman is this? Brother Philip, if there were aliens, she must have been one. Straight from the planet of Venus. She's not beset by all the normal things that trip up mothers and wives. And for that matter, she's not bothered by things that often snag men and women. She is a woman of excellence. Yes. And underneath all this flurry of activity, underneath her indomitable attitude, underneath her skill, her love for her husband, underneath the warm and comfort and safety she showers on her children and her entire household, underneath all of this, she has a secret. The book of Proverbs starts and ends with the same themes. As Solomon closes out this collection of sayings and insights, he ends it all the way he began. In this case, it is his mother. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom, instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching." Who knows but what the entire book may have been written so that he could get to this end. Underneath her activities and her attitude is a woman who fears the Lord God above all else.
Right.
Amen. He ends two verses from the end of the last chapter of the book. Chapter 31, 31 verses. And in verse 30 it says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised."
Amen.
She loves the Lord her God with all her heart and with all her soul and with all her might. She does not fear her husband. She does not fear losing the love of her children. She does not fear hunger or poverty or cold. She does not fear being compared with other mothers. She does not fear failure because she fears the Lord God with an all-encompassing fear that drives out all else. She loves God with a consuming love that transcends her love of life itself. It's a love that undergirds her very soul. The Proverbs 31 woman has a secret. It's really very simple. When you peel away all of her activities and skills and achievements, when you peel away that amazing attitude, there's only one thing lying under the surface. She has a love so great and a fear so terrifying that it drives all she does. She has one goal in life. Her only true desire is to please God, to love her God, and to remain sheltered under His wings of love. She's not driven by success. She's not moved with comparison. She doesn't know anxiety. She doesn't concern herself with the opinions of others. Hallelujah, ladies, women, mothers, if you long to be more like this woman of excellence described by Solomon in Proverbs 31, then you've got to learn to fear the Lord. That wasn't what you thought I was going to say when I got down to this, was it, Sister Judy? If men want to be able to break free from insecurity and rise to the challenge of their calling, we've got to learn to fear the Lord above all else. When a woman lives in love with God and in the fear of the Lord, she will be praised. The only thing that she worries about, the only thing that she fears, is that she might break a commandment that would upset the heart of her God. Now, Bathsheba wasn't like this when she began her journey. When she began, she was vain and self-centered. The Bible says that King David walked out and saw her bathing on the roof. What was she doing naked, Dwight, on the roof? But when David saw it, he knew it could only mean one thing. Hallelujah. He got the party started. She was lonely. She craved the affections of a man. She wasn't always a woman of excellence. She started out with some struggles and she started out missing and cylinders weren't firing like they needed to be because she was in love with other things and afraid of other things than her God. then after having an adulterous affair and suffering the assassination of her husband, and then suffering the affliction and the wrath of God as she bore a child into the world, and then God killed the baby. And something changed in Bathsheba's heart and in her life. And she realized that I don't need to be afraid of men or being alone or having the affections of a husband. I don't need to be afraid of being beautiful and looking right in everybody's eyes. I don't need to be afraid of what other women are going to say about me or what's going to become of me. What I need to know and what I need to learn is to be afraid of the Lord God. And she feared God for that day. It's not written in the scriptures, but Solomon knew. And mothers, I want to just say to you today, as I begin to close this message and prepare to bring it to an end, God is challenging us in our hearts. Sister Ashley was so beautiful, testified several weeks ago, I believe it was on Easter Sunday, about how the Lord has spoken to her about things in her life. God wants to show you what matters.
That's right.
How to improve your marriage. How to successfully raise your family. How to flourish in your life. The only way to do that right and to get every ounce of goodness out of this short time we have on the earth is to fall in love with God. Head over heels in love with Him. And fear above all else. I say this, that what we fear to lose is what we love most. And this woman, as she came to an end, and all of her works followed behind, and her great son, King Solomon, stood and read the eulogy over her life. He shows us how she became a woman of excellence. That the only thing she feared was losing the favor of God. Let's stand together today. This word speaks to mothers. This word speaks to fathers. I want to be successful. I want to do well. Fall in love with Jesus. And fear God. If there's anything else that you're afraid of, that you haven't yet come to a place where you love God. Jesus said, unless you hate your father, and your mother, and other close family members, yea, even if you do not hate your own life, you cannot be my disciple. It doesn't mean what you think it means. It doesn't mean that you look at your dad and go, I hate you, because Jesus said so. I don't want you to go home to your mom and say, Pastor said for me to tell you I hate your guts, because it's in the Bible, hallelujah. It's like, okay. Let's go back to kindergarten with you. Amen? When it says that you are to hate all else except God, it means that there's nothing that you should love as much as you love Him. That you should love God so much that it almost looks like the next closest thing can be called anything else but hate. And as Bathsheba learned this, and she lived and walked in the fear of God, all of a sudden her hands became more skillful and her arms got stronger. And as she feared and as she loved God and as she walked in His commandments, her fields started producing more, and she started getting calls, and merchants started checking in on her, and her children started to be blessed, and more and more and more good things started to happen. happened to her, and she just kept walking in the fear of the Lord and the love of her God. And her husband and her marriage began to flourish. And he began to praise her in the gates. And he began to put his trust in her. And all the arguments they used to have faded into oblivion. And all of the behavior issues with the children all of a sudden become a non-issue as she walked in the fear and the love of God. Every piece of the puzzle in her life fell into place. Everything she could have ever wanted came to her. And it changed her attitude and her mood. When she looked at the things that she did, she didn't pick it apart and say, "Oh, I don't know if I did a very good job." She looked at it and she perceived that it was good. Because when you love God and fear Him above all else, it changes your moods and your attitudes and your thoughts. She used to fear the winter time, and now she laughs at it. How many of you are ready to move forward in your walk with God today? Let's bow our heads and let's make some commitments today. Jesus, teach us the fear of the Lord. To love You and fear You at the same time, above all else and anything else. Until we are walking under the shadow of Your wings, and the fountain of blessings cannot be shut off. Until our thoughts change, until our minds are renewed, until we are transformed, until our hearts are filled with courage and our arms with strength, and our relationships are flourishing with love. Let us teach us to walk love and fear. Would you pray and commit as the worship team?